You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells. All right, mate, so on your last year of your OKR deal, you're back on loan with Leeds, mate, and is this something you engineered yourself, and how was it to be going back?
Yeah, so obviously, with what happened, sepsis threw me nearly dying. I got told that if I didn't play, I weren't getting another contract, and then obviously then I ended up in hospital for 3 weeks, you know, nearly dying. So I couldn't play for the club again, you know. I had to get away from my own sanity, really. So and then obviously I knew a couple of things that were going on in the background at Leeds. So I knew there was a space going up there. So manufactured again and got there. But literally the second training session there, I snapped the ATFL ligament fully, and I couldn't believe it. So that was just like one thing after another. But thankfully I got sorted, and I think I played like six games out of the last 10. So I would have loved to have signed there again, but it just wasn't meant to be.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
But it got me away from OKR, got me back rugby a little bit more, and so that's what happened there.
Yeah. Are you all right talking about the sepsis, mate?
How
did that happen, and what was the rehab about?
I just went in for a tackle, and I got my head in the wrong way, and I felt a crack in my mid thoracic, which then grew, and then I had an abscess on the spine. It grew an abscess on the spine, and then that led to me having sepsis.
Bloody hell. So what was said, and like how? Well, you've got a family, haven't you? So I wasn't on everybody else.
It was just painkillers and muscle relaxants, just getting me through day to day, and then playing every weekend. It was really tough. And then, like I said, nearly ended up. I got rushed into hospital, and then I was in hospital for 3 weeks, and then at home for a further 6 weeks on a drip. With really high levels of antibiotics, and then I got something called post-sepsis syndrome, which is like PTSD. That was the hardest part. That was when stuff really went west for myself. It took me over like 2 years to build a bond up again with kids, because I was just like a monster around. I was a really bad person to be around. So, but again,
did anyone from the game reach out? Won't they?
No, because when they go in,
I said this to Gary Wheeler, obviously with the Toronto thing, and Dicko with the Toronto thing. When the going's good, mate, everyone's your pal, aren't they?
And then
when you really could do with leaning on someone to take a bit of heat off, not only you but the family.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem to be a lot of hands out for you and that. But
yeah, no, there was only. There was only two people that came and seen me from my team while I was in hospital, you know.
Yeah.
And I was in hospital for 3 weeks. So like, the amount of people that came and seen me, that rang me to see if I was all right, it was quite embarrassing, really, to be honest. I get that people live their lives and stuff like that, but whether or not they didn't realise just what I was going through, but it was horrendous the way I was treated. So... but again, you're living, you're learning, you realise like, you are just a bit too much. So
yeah.
I can pass that on now and tell people, you know, don't get too carried away with the sport, because it will chew you up and spit you out, you know, when it wants.
Yeah. No, thanks for being honest, mate. I appreciate it. And,
no, it's all right. It is what it is, mate. You know, it's... Yeah. Yeah, like I say, but the daft thing is, mate, I'd probably do the same again, you know. I don't know.
The highs with the lows and the highs,
it's one of those, you're in it, and when you're in it, it's very hard to see anything else, you know. It's not until you step away. I'm now retired, so I can look for rugby for what it is. But thankfully, I've walked away from the game, and I don't resent the game, you know. I'm still happy. I still love the game. I just don't love playing.
Yeah, you can hear that in you though, mate. The love for the game isn't gone.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
everything. You know, I met my missus while I moved away. You know, I've got my two kids. Like I say, I've played for England. I've done this. I've done that. You know, I've been here. I've been there. And I've met certain people that I'd never have met throughout rugby, and it's given me good morals as well. So, it's given me good morals and everything. So I would never ever change, like anything that happened, you know, because it makes you who you are.
Correct, mate. Correct. So, at the end of that spell, mate, the move to Batley comes, and again, sorry to repeat myself, is that engineered by yourself as well, or?
Well, mate, to be fair, I had nowhere else to go. It was just they were paying the most money, and that was that. I knew my career, like I said, sepsis brought my career to an end early, like prematurely, you know, from full time. But like I say, it was just one of those things that I didn't expect it. But again, you have to adapt and you have to just go with it. Unfortunately, it wasn't what I wanted, but it was just. It was all I had, so that was how that went down.
Yeah, and how was it there? Was it COVID hit, was it?
No, it was. So I think I played about six games. Last game was Toulouse, and then the plug was pulled, and then that was it. Do you know what? Probably the best time of my life. Do you know that the first COVID bit? I was still getting paid, and I was not playing because I didn't want to play at the time. I was just too sore. I was just relying on painkillers to play, and it was just taking a toll on me then. So it was a really good, you know, from a selfish point of view, it was brilliant for me, you know, still getting paid, but transitioning from playing to not playing.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough, mate. So you'd agreed to move to Barra, had you? Obviously with everything that was going on.
Yeah, so I'd signed at Barrow. I knew Paul Creary really well. So I went up there, but the drive was just too much. And then I just felt like everything was just going to be on me. Obviously, because I was the biggest name there, biggest sign there, you know. And when we got promoted in 2017, although it was brilliant, like it took a hell of a lot out of me. And I know what it takes to like, to not single-handedly, but have a major part to play in getting a team promoted. It takes a hell of a lot out of you, you know.
Like yeah.
A hell of a lot. And I didn't have it in me no more. I really didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Travelling up there and working and whatnot. It was just, I couldn't do it no more. So I was just like, my back was like pulling up, you know, because obviously I was sat travelling all the time. And it was just, it just wasn't good enough for me. It was just good for my body, so I had to pull the blood.
Yeah, and so basically, mate, the time was right for you, wasn't it? Thank the game and appreciate what you've got from it.
I came away from the game not being resentful to the game. I came away still loving the game. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, it was the right time. You know, I've always wanted to walk away on my own terms and, you know, still be able to run and, you know, and enjoy my kids. And
that's it, play with the kids and that, mate, isn't it?
Grandkids one day and still be able to run around with them and that, you know, rather than being crippled, you know, and like your body just absolutely beat up.
No, that's fair enough. So throughout your career, mate, was there ever any approaches from rugby union clubs?
No, never rugby union, no. I got offered a deal in Australia. I've got an offer, a one-year deal by Parramatta, but Huddersfield wouldn't let me go.
Was that something you'd have pursued, is it?
Oh, yeah, me and the wife were ready to go, and everything. But
that's harsh,
they wouldn't let me go, So, but again, it's just one of those things. It just
wasn't meant to be, fella, was it?
Like I said, I could have went over there, mate, and anything could have happened, you know. Could have went well, or it could have went absolute tits up. So I just looked at that.
That's fair enough. So when retirement comes, mate, what avenues are you looking down?
So I've just got my dissertation to do at university. I'm doing a master's in sports directorship. I'm currently working at a children's home, a residential children's care home. So it's really good. Really good sort of transitioning. really enjoying it. You know, there's two young lads there, 15 and 17, having a big impact on them lads is it's quite special, you know. So it's something that I'm really enjoying doing. But I wanna stay in rugby. I feel like I've got a lot to give in rugby. I feel like I've got a lot to, like, you know, coaching wise and sort of mentoring and stuff.
Yeah, the game, definitely.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Do you know what I'd like to say? It's not all been roses, neither. You know, I've been through tough
times.
That's
the beauty. Yeah,
I've coped with things in the wrong manners. So I don't judge people no more. Like, I'm very unjudgmental and accepting, and that's what we lack in rugby league. Well, we lack in society, people that accept people for who they are and, you know, not judge them. So it's something that I want to get into. Like, I like to be a mentor. You know, I can help them with the off the field problems, but I can also help them with the on the field problems as well.
Yeah. Do you think, through your experience then, mate, and I appreciate things are changing drastically now with off the field and mental health and stuff, was there a severe lack of support for that side of the game when you were coming through and when you were at your peak? Or was there avenues for you?
Matt, just 1 second, pal.
No worries, mate.
Massively, like it was the worst ever. It was really tough, really tough. But that's only because I'm looking at it back now. Whereas when you're in it, you just have to get on with it, unfortunately. But I do believe that I would have handled a lot of things a lot differently. What I know now, you know, if I knew it back then, definitely.
Right. So, did you set up an agency to look after players, mate?
Yeah, so I've got a business called HQ9. It's not an agency. It's just literally a platform for people to go on there to showcase themselves, to put themselves in the shop window. Again, a bit like myself, where I had to go out there and met me on DVD and send it out there. It's a platform for them to go on there and put their highlights on there. And it also helps clubs because they don't have the money to be driving here, there and everywhere looking for players, you know. And it's...
That's a class idea, that, mate.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's just getting people to buy into it now, you know, get on it and there. And whatnot, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Again,
people are still stuck in their old ways, you know, where they don't want to. Well, you need to change your approach. If something's not working, you need to change your approach, don't you? So
yeah, of course you do. So, where can people find that, mate? If you want to tell people your website,
just online, just www.hq9.co.uk. It's just on there, mate, and it's all free to sign up and everything and whatnot. So. So I'm just building that now, you know, and I've got plenty of time because at work I currently do like 2 days on, 2 days off. So I've got plenty of time now.
Yeah. So how did you come into the residential stuff, mate?
That was my wife. So my wife's brother, his best mate works there. And it was just like, I was just going through a tough time. I didn't have a job and, I was just at home being a slob, and I just think my wife was just, I think my wife was just sick of me being at home. She was sick of me, so she's like, get a job. And it turned out that I managed to get me a job doing that, and I love it, absolutely love it. I do, really, really good. And it's good because I work with other like ex rugby players, and you work in a group of lads, and I'm also giving back as well. So it's something I always like to do, you know, give back. And so it's good, mate. It's very rewarding as well.
Yeah. So does that give you the appetite to transfer that back into the game as well as there, has it?
Like I say, it's that transition. There's no way. Like, I've always said, it's like losing your virginity. No one can do it for you. You have to go and do it yourself. And it's like forgetting rugby. Doing that transition, no one can do it for you. It's not an easy thing. You need to, you come institutionalized in what you are. You need to reinvent yourself. And, you know, some people can and some people can't, you know. Yeah. And I was in a unique position. Like, so I've spoken obviously a lot of psychiatrists over the years and whatnot. And like, I was speaking to Fatsy, the one over at Leeds, and he was like, you're in quite a unique position where, like, you're actually looking for a way out of rugby, where a lot of people are still, they were looking for ways to stay in with rugby.
Yeah.
I wanted to get away from it because it consumed me, and it just, like I said, the negative people in there, you had to be someone that you weren't. And I just had to get
that's out. Not what rugby's about either, is it?
It's not, no, but no. Sadly that's what it is about, and yeah, that's what people don't see. So I had to get out of there, I had to do something different, you know.
Yeah. No, good on you, mate. It's definitely a challenge, I've no doubt.
Yeah, oh, it is, and again, it's hard, and it's there's no easy way around it. You have to go through it. It's like I've always said, anything tough, like if there's a wall, you can't go around it, you can't go over it. You have to just go through it, unfortunately, yeah, and, you know, get through it. And hopefully when you get through the other side, you're still mentally intact, and you've done the right thing. So yeah, it's something, you know. And I do fear for the game at the moment. You know, I've got out of it at the right time. And I've always said, if my kids are like 16, 17 now, wanting to go into rugby league to make a career like I made, I'd be very concerned for their welfare, yeah, and their plans, and because I know people that are on like $4,000 a year and like
crazy, mate, isn't it?
Full time. Like, I know someone, like the playing first team, like a prop forward playing first team, he's played over 50 games. It's on like £17,000 a year. £17,000 a year. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, it's the game's in a really, really. Yeah, it is, yeah. And you know what? It's on a knife edge as well, and that's not again. I'm not a bitter person, so as you can tell, I'm not bitter towards the sport. I care for the sport because it's gave me everything, you know. So I'm very cautious and very the game's in it. It's on a knife edge. Do you know what I mean?
It is, mate. Yeah, I seen a comment from a fan saying, on Twitter, mate, obviously everyone has an opinion behind the keyboard, don't they?
But yeah.
It was something along the lines of, it's an amateur sport playing at professional level that fans deem should be a better product than what it is.
Well, I've always said that rugby league, so obviously rugby league and rugby union, they split it, and the rugby union and rugby league. Rugby union's an amateur game run by professional, and rugby league's a professional game run by amateurs. That's,
I've heard that, mate. Yeah,
that's what it is. That's exactly what it is, mate. So,
right.
And it's people running it for their own agenda, not for the big, like. So yeah,
not for the game. Yeah.
You have all these teams that all they care about is themselves, right? But they don't realise if they don't like start looking after these little clubs, these smaller clubs in divisions below them, there's going to be no rugby players left to choose from.
Correct. Yeah.
People ain't coming over from Australia no more than that. Again, no. I've got nothing against Australians. I've got nothing against overseas players, right? Because I don't blame them one little bit coming over and taking money. But we need to stop bringing them over. We do.
Yeah.
Because
without the grassroots, mate, there's no game, is there?
There isn't. There's nothing. There's nothing, mate. But again, I could talk about that for days and days. But it's something that we all know. But nobody wants to address it.
Do it about, yeah. No, that's fair comment, mate. So, just before we go on to a few daft questions, I've obviously been marvelling you for managed to get to know you a little bit through your social medias and that, as much as you have now. But you do a fair bit of fundraising, mate. So, do you want to talk us through what you've been doing?
Oh, we just did a walk for M&E, the brother-in-law and my mate who I work with. He was doing it, so he was in the academy with Rob and just asked if I wanted to do it, and I jumped on board, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It was disgusting. Never ever, like, you don't think that like walking 50k like two consecutive days would be tough. It is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
Do you underestimate it a bit, do you reckon?
You what, sorry?
Did you underestimate it a little bit?
Oh,
do you reckon?
Massively, I didn't train for it one little bit. I underestimated it. I couldn't have underestimated it enough. But that's just me, mate. I'm done with that. I'll deal with things and when they hit me in the face and look me right in the face. But I got through it and managed to get through it. I knew I'd do it, like, just because I'm stubborn and I am mentally tough like that. But any further, I don't think my body could have could have actually went any further.
Fair enough, mate. So we'll go on to your daft questions now, mate, if that's okay. So that's any pre-match superstitions?
No, do you know what? I never really had any, right? But what I used to do with my laces, I still sometimes do it now. When I used to lace my boots up, my last lace, when it used to come across, it always used to have to go on top of the other one. Really, it's really weird to explain, but it's just something to do with my laces, how it used to go on top.
Because it's not in your trainers and that as well, is it?
Yeah, on my trainers. Yeah. It's just something I do. But again, I'm too forgetful to have any superstitions. I forget to do them, and then I'd be like going on the pitch like panicking that I've not done it. So I used to just like try not to have any at all.
No, that's fair enough, mate. So, toughest player to play with and against?
This is like tough players are like it's weird because like I've had some games you'd be playing like Jermaine McGilbury, like he's like tough to play against. But I used to love playing against like Jermaine, because I know him as a good friend, so I used to get on really well with him. But then there'd be like some days where like I can remember playing against like Salford and playing against Darnell Alfitt. And I just couldn't tackle him. I don't have like one set person. It'd be just like I can remember playing against like Saints and like Andre Sabellio. He was only a baby, but yeah. I couldn't tackle him for the love of money. Like it was just one of those things where like, and then like I'd play against like Morley or Jamie Peacock, and I'd just be tackling them like not easily, but like no bother at all. That's
the definition: toughness to you and toughness to us fans.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, toughness in terms of who's the toughest like fighter. Well, I wouldn't really know, but like I certainly wouldn't want to fight Morley or JP. I know that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, whereas toughness in like a game is where like. Where you just can't tackle people, like some days you just can't tackle them, you know, and it's the most annoying things, like bony people, like playing against like Nicky Youngquest, like he used to get like 150 yards meters a game,
kick returns and stuff,
just like bony people, like.
Plus, you've touched on like the old school, you know, earlier days as well. It'd be tough characters, wouldn't they?
Like Gary Broadbent, like one of the toughest people ever. Like I tell you who's mentally tough and physically tough, right? That nobody gives any credit to. Aaron Murphy's one of the toughest people you'll ever come across.
I thought it was a shot when, no offense to Bradford, but when he signed for Bradford, that you let him go.
I know, yeah. Honestly, it was unbelievable. Him, you know, I've seen him, right. So I got on really well with Murph, and we were camping one night, right, and he came down with like a sickness and diarrhea bug, right, and honestly he looked like he was dying, right, and then we wanted to go out for a drink that night, right, and he was like lads, I said I feel like I'm dying, right, and we were giving him shit, calling him a pussy and that. he opened a bottle to drink to come out with us, and I was like, oh my god, there's not a chance I would have done that, right. But thankfully, one of the lads said, no, you're all right. I'm not going out neither. So he put it back down. But like, he was nearly dead. But that's like, honestly, he is tough. Him, he's one of the. And like, playing, like, he played with it, played like, he broke his hand in like seven places and played like the rest of the game. You know, it's like,
I thought he was very underrated. I don't know.
But people don't see stuff like that, you know.
No, they don't, mate.
They just see the big toughness, like, they see, like, oh, he's a big tough, he's big tough, him, he's strong. Yeah. But they're not usually the tough ones.
No. So if you're out on the lash with the boys, like you was camping and that, you go in a pub, the karaoke machine's on, mate, what are you getting up and giving us?
See, I'm not a singer at all, you see. Don't sing at all. But anything Elton John, I love Elton John.
Fair enough.
So anything of Elton John, yeah.
All right, mate. So what social media can people keep up to date with you on, and what are your handles? So on Twitter, what's your handle? Instagram.
I'm gonna have to have a look. I think my Instagram's just at Sean Lunt. Just at Sean.
Right. Your Twitter is
Sean _ Lunt, I think.
It is, mate. Sean _ Lunt. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're just the two, yeah.
So, mate. So we come to your 1-13 fella that you've played with. So you can either start at full back or prop, it's up to you. And why?
We'll go full back. But like Brett Hodgson, he was unbelievable. Obviously, I've been lucky I played with like Zach Hardacre and that, but definitely Brett Hodgson.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not really like, I'll, you know what? I'm going to tell you a team now and I'll come away and I'll think of bloody hell, like, what about him and what about him? But like Jermaine McGilvery, obviously, he's one wing.
Yeah.
Ryan Hall, probably on the other wing. Again, play with just, I've been very fortunate in some of the, like, I play with, like, just, no, I'd say put Justin Carney instead of Ryan Hall, because he was a beast in.
You can have both if you want, mate, a mixture of both. All three are big returners, aren't they?
Yeah, no, the hard stuff. Go Jermaine and Justin.
Yeah.
And then centres. Who are my centres at Leeds? Can't remember. Leroy Cudjoe will be one.
Yeah.
Trying to think of the centres at Leeds one.
Would you have had Abbott stepping in at centre? You'd have had Watkins, would you? Would he have been a kid?
Yeah, probably like Callum or Abbo.
Yeah.
Probably go Callum, yeah. Okay. Callum was special.
Yeah. Right, mate. Who's your six and seven?
Six and seven, like, probably Kev Sinfield, six.
Yeah.
And probably like Danny Maggs, a seven.
Fair enough. Looks like he could still do it, Danny. He's seen some of the stuff at OKR's social medias. Looks like he's still got it, the lad.
Yeah, he's a special athlete, is Magsy, isn't he? He was class. He was very good.
So you're front row, mate?
Front row, Jamie Peacock and probably Stu Fielding.
Yeah. Who'd tie that up at nine?
James Roby. I played with Robes under 18s at Saints, obviously, so it'd have to be Robes.
Fair enough, mate. And your second rowers?
Gaz Ellis.
Yeah.
Freak,
isn't he, Gaz?
Yeah. Yeah, Gaz Ellis. And Jason Chan.
Yeah.
I love playing with Chani, yeah. Chani was class. And like I say, I've been lucky. Like, I play with like David Fialogo. Like, he was unbelievable, him, you know. No, yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, you put David Fialogo instead of Jason Chan.
Okie dokie. He seemed a tough boy. Like, he done some hard yards and that, didn't he?
He was hard, that bloke, you know.
He looks it as well, though, even on them little quips and that, everything he does is like intense in it. And dominate.
Doofy was a special character, and then Sam Burgess at 13.
Yeah, Sam, mate. So
it's not a bad team, and
it's, you know, not.
I could do like two or three teams, you know, that would be world class. Like, I've been very lucky to play with them guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So do you know sometimes, like, mate, just before you go, I'm sorry, I've dominated mostly.
No, it's okay, mate.
Do you realise how much you've done and how far you've come? Or does it take something like this for you to go, do you know what? You've done more than all right, but I've done all right.
No, it does. Like, it's just that reflection, isn't it? And you don't realise, like you say, I'm very humbled and very, you know, sort of quiet about what I've done. But, like, to write it down, I find it very hard to be big-headed, you know. I don't like it. It's not me, but... I've been like very, very lucky, you know. Like, I've been in a dream team. I've played for England. I've won a grand final. I've played at Wembley three times. I've won a league leaders. I've won the league leaders in championship, you know.
Yeah. Stuff people dream of, mate.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
you probably did yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like some players that that I grew up watching as a kid, right? I call them friends now. Do you know, it's madness. Do you know what I mean? It really is. So it's good just to sort of reminisce and that, you know. But again, I've always been very cautious of being that bitter person, you know, sat in that pub saying, oh, that could have been me. I was better than him.
Far from that, mate.
No, that's what I'm saying. I did what I did. And that's that. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy with what I've done. You know, no one could ever take that away from me. You know,
no.
I've got a wife and two kids. You know, I've got a great little life, and you know, it's all from rugby. So I've got a lot of it to thank for. Do you know what I mean? So but I want to give back. I feel it's criminal not to give back. You see.
Yeah, there's got to be an opportunity out there.
Yeah, I've had a lot given to me. Do you know, a lot of people, like I say, I've had a lot of help off people, like, you know, like Brett Hudson and that, like, they sit down and they help me a lot, you know, and I'm a big believer in, even in life, just passing stuff on to my kids. If you don't do it, it's you're not doing I don't think you're doing your world justice, you know, just not passing anything on.
Yeah. It's not a nice way of looking at it, mate.
You can't take what, like, you know, what you learned or your mistakes. Don't be jealous. No, don't be embarrassed of all your fuck ups you've done, because that's what you can pass on to people and tell them what not to do. And that's
why. Why you're where you're at, isn't it?
Exactly. That's why I want to stay in the game, to show people, like, it's all right to fuck up, you know, it's all right to, you know, to go on the piss after a game and, you know, make a mistake. It's okay to do it. Like, you're not the first, you're not going to be the last. It's all right to go and take some drugs. It's all right, because, do you know what? I'm not saying going to do it, but if that's how you cope with it there and then, right? Yeah, it's not the right thing to do, right? But I'm not going to sit here and judge you for it, because I've done it myself. Do you know what I mean? It's not right to judge people when you're sat there and you've done the same thing, and do you know what I mean?
You've been listening to Trot the Egging. Thanks to our sponsors, Bardell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEgging and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.